Welcome back, everyone, to Red Spotlight again for our Agency Reaction Commentary Series here for the now fourth season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is the reaction that is made for the longtime S.H.I.E.L.D. fan that wants to come back on here and talk endlessly about one of our favorite shows of all time. Last time, we were just getting the ball rolling with just the second episode of this fourth season. But wouldn't you know it, how quickly things end up coming to fruition? We said very much from the onset, oh yeah, this is easily the best season. And I didn't waste any time getting there already, because we're already kind of moving leaps and bounds, despite some archival reviews that would argue the contrary in a very maddening way. Anywho, today we're going to be reacting to Episode 3, Uprising, which I'm going to tell you right now has always kind of been one of... I feel like this might be in the upper echelon of most entertaining episodes that the show has ever produced. I mean, I always felt that way about this episode from the first time that I watched it live. And again, I want to just remind everybody that the fourth season is very special for me, because it wasn't just that I was watching it live when it would drop new episodes, because I was already doing that for all the seasons. But what was different about this one is just the context. I had moved away to college, and so this was a much more, like, appointment, if you will, I guess, TV. No matter what I was doing, I always made sure that it was Tuesday at 10 p.m. Or since we're Pacific Standard Time, it was 7. But anywho, I'd be there to watch the new episodes. And yeah, and I recall watching this one and I was like, oh shit, we're three episodes and already this season's got me like, this is why I love this show. And this was such a good time, and I this is one of the ones that I've been looking forward to revisiting, for sure. But before we get into that, do we have anything to say about last time by any... did we get any mail, I guess, if you want to say, David?
Yeah. Okay. well, someone commented on the first episode. Not sure how to say that. The username lop94 but just says yes, always bittersweet to see someone finish reaction series to the show, which,
yeah,
commenting about Omni's finishing the show.
Yes.
So, and then Silva saying, greetings my fellow agents, back again with another awesome reflection and reaction. Wanted to highlight why I'm such a fan of Robbie Reyes in the show. He's a cool dude, and he's a Chicano like me. He's Chicano, LOL. I don't know why he said that. That admittedly is a huge reason, because we only got Zorro in pop culture. Melinda May has to be my favorite main character throughout the series. Funny enough, I have a love-annoyed relationship with the other main cast through the seasons. This season, I finally fall in love with Simmons, as I wasn't a big fan prior. I also want to point out that the true villain of season 4, it's the Darkhold. That's what makes the season special, in my opinion. It's the reason behind all the chaos and tragedy. You two had great commentary as usual, making these podcast reactions such a fun time to enjoy. Thanks for the space to be proud of dork of this fantastic show. See you two next time. Stay awesome. Thank you. But yeah, I mean, I think the Darkhold is for sure the villain. Started everything.
I like how I really do like how that was put. I do feel like, if you want to look at it from that standpoint, yeah, it is the omnipresent existence that is... It's funny because, like, you don't think of an inanimate object as a villain, although I guess in this case it's not inanimate. It's alive and it's constantly doing shit, and it is the source of all the problems for this season, for sure. And I also just want to say, of course, thank you for the lovely words about our commentary. I know for sure some of the personalities are not for everybody. So I'll take anyone who's, I guess, watches a video of me and doesn't want to kill me on site. Because that apparently seems to be the, I don't know, I guess I bring out hatred in people. Even though it's funny because, I mean, maybe because I do it on purpose. I do try to push buttons on purpose, but I don't know. I like S.H.I.E.L.D. And I also am very passionate about it, and also about, I just feel the true injustice around the whole conversation and the legacy of this show. And like with anything else, I do feel like what we are engaging with right now is in its very own small way a part of just reframing the narrative of what this is. And in you know, I do bemoan the fall of television, but if there's one upside, is that this continues to be one of the shows that people keep pointing to and, you know, continuously are surprised with how good it was and already was in the beginning. Any more comments, David?
I wanted to say yes, go ahead. Omni's, what was it? Which part was it? Because we only got Zorro in pop culture. I don't know if Silva ever watched, what was it? El Tigre and Mucha Lucha cartoons. I don't know if we're around the same age or something, but like, I don't know. I remember watching those, you know, that's something Mexican culture right there. That was pretty fun. But yeah, it's still very small window that we had growing up either way. But I guess
there weren't a lot of options, but yeah. Mucha Lucha and El Tigre. I think El Tigre, it wasn't very, it was short lived, but.
True.
But you remember it in large part because, some Hispanic representation. Yeah. Isn't that something? I feel like that had a lot going in its favor, that it was kind of catering to a different kind of audience, mm-hmm. which is, I think, you know, why people would recall it as much as they do. But Mucha Lucha for sure was a big deal. I know that it had a longevity to it, both on, I believe, Kids WB and on Cartoon Network. That was a staple for sure. That's a separate podcast, so we can get into those for sure. I don't know if people younger than us would even have any idea what the hell we were talking about.
That's just true. Now. Yeah.
And cable TV to them is such a foreign object.
Mm-hmm. Then someone else commented, his name is Kevin. Too much talking and not enough reaction footage compared to other reactors.
I love you see what I meant. That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah,
what I was saying a few minutes earlier, and people have such a weird, visceral anger when they like accidentally stumble into our content that we're talking. And I do want to be clear though. It's like it's not a true reaction in a lot of the ways. We do purposefully talk over some bits because we've already seen this show. We've already seen the show. We know where it's all going. And as I say at the top, this is catered to the longtime S.H.I.E.L.D. fan that wants to come back on here and talk endlessly about one of our favorite shows of all time. Like, you would think that just when I say it so plainly like that, you would understand, it's not a normal reaction. It's kind of like a re-reaction. It's a commentary, as we say, a commentary that's us talking about what we're watching, you know? That's kind of what this would for me anyway make this special. And I think what we found a way to make it feel more real and genuine that way. I don't think it would have been a very genuine thing to just do a reaction and pretend that we hadn't already seen it. And I do feel that the people who watch and listen to us on this particular one do enjoy that aspect of it. But again, that person's, this is the thing. It's like, I totally get the frustration, but it takes a special kind of anger to make someone comment. And that's the thing I don't understand. It's like, what do we do to bring that out in people that they want to leave a note saying, fuck you for wasting my time?
Yeah.
We didn't make you click on the video, guy. You did it yourself. So I don't know.
But then also too, it's like,
hilarious. It's funny, but
it's like, why are you coming here to watch clips of the show? We can just watch the show yourself. And
yeah,
so there's that. But I did comment on that guy saying like, there's absolutely nothing I could do about the talking. Like, we like discussing, we like complimenting the show. But I will try to add more footage between like our discussions, which I was doing that on the first two seasons. Like in the middle of you talking, like if there's like a bit of a pause, I'll add like a clip, like literally like pausing ourselves, putting an image of like what the last frame was, adding a clip and then keep going. It's just, it kept building up the pictures and all that. And sometimes we keep doing these commentaries like so last minute that I'm just kind of like, okay, I just need to put in the like clip discussion, and that's it. So
yeah.
So I'll try to add more clips, especially because Silva actually once commented I can't remember the character's name, but there was like a fight between May and that dude with the controlling the middle.
Guerra.
Yeah, him. Silva was like, you know, that's my favorite fight. Barely put any footage of it. I'm like, I'm so sorry. But
must sting.
Yeah, so
Silva, especially if there are any moments that you for sure love on the show that you don't want David to cut, you can put them down below on the video, and I think he will be very attentive to those particular comments. I will say that. Yeah, I know it's tough, and not to pile on, but there have been some times I've watched some of the reactions you've done too, and I'm like, he cut that out. I think one of the more infamous ones was last year when we were doing Andor, right? And the speech, I think, was one of the ones that was like, what the fuck?
No, yeah, people were commenting about that too, and I'm just like, we did it, we were so into it. I don't know. Especially because like when it comes to like when we're not talking, it's really hard to like gauge of like, is this enough to like, you know, please the person watching, but then also I hope it's not too much that I get fucking copyright strike on it, you know? So that's always the hard part. So
it's tough.
When it came to the Andor one, for sure, I was just like, I don't want to put any more footage. I just want to get to like the important part of that speech, which is, you know, her calling out Palpatine. Did I put the part with the, I can't remember, but I think I might have put the part with like, you know, she says the something about truth gets taken away, like that's when evil rises or something like that.
Yeah.
So you
put a bit of it in there, but I feel like a lot of people wanted most of it to be in there. Mm-hmm. And I know for sure that when I watch reactions to some of the shows that I follow or some of the movies that I like, there are moments that I'm anticipating of like, this, they better put this in there.
Mm-hmm.
Better not talk over it. So I also see it from that vantage point as well. It's like, but what David just illustrated is a good example of like, sometimes it really just, there's no winning. Mm-hmm. There's no win. And the specter of copyright strikes is something that's just, I don't think ever going to go away, unfortunately. So that's just one of the things to do. Also, it is kind of a one-man operation. And it's not as if like this is the only thing that we do. Not even just as far as like our lives, I just even mean on this podcast. So there are things that we're trying to juggle at the same. I mean, this week personally, it's been kind of a rough week as far as like I'm so slammed at work with the things getting hectic and everything, and I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna lie. But we're here because we wanted to see it and talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. obviously. But I mean, I think last week we recorded like what, three shows, and this week we did two. But even then, it's like reactions can be tough, and I'm happy and I'm fortunate that we've been able to get out what we've been able to get out. You know, I really did want to do Stranger Things, but that would have been that thing that would have put you in the hospital because it was so much. Yeah. I want to say it was like that would have just been impossible. Andor, I think we barely made it work. Right, because they dropped like what, three episodes in one day,
and we did it all, and by the end of it we were all kind of like, we're getting so tired, but it's so good and all that. So that was the one good thing about it. It's like the show was truly so good that we were like,
it was the anti-Ahsoka, because that one was literally shorter but killing us week to week.
That's all the comments.
Anyway, all right, guys, we're going to go ahead. Before I even start, let me just... this is episode Uprising. This is written by Craig Titley. Hey, yay, one of our favorite ones. He wrote 4,722 hours from last season and among other episodes. Broadcast originally on October... I'm sorry, I should have also said directed by Magnus Matt Martins. Broadcast on October 11th, 2016. The episode was watched by 4.89 million viewers. Critical response was mostly positive, with praise going to the episode's action and cast's chemistry, but several story elements were criticized as forced, apparently. The S.H.I.E.L.D. announcement was seen to be overly ambitious for the series, given the MCU films are considered unlikely to ever acknowledge it. Well, I'm sure I can already imagine which bitches wrote that, as far as like, well, it doesn't affect the MCU, so we're going to knock the episode points for that. As if that's the show's fault for the larger universe not acknowledging it. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Okay, we're not even going to do that. Anyway, this episode stars Clark Gregg, Ming-Na Wen, Chloe Bennett, Inda Gasagir, Elizabeth Henstridge, Henry Simmons, John Hannah. And then, of course, our returning cast here, guest appearances. Gabriel Luna as Ghost Rider. That's kind of a big one. Paraminder Nagra as Alan Nadir. Natalia Cordova-Buckley as Elena Yo-Yo Rodriguez. Lorenzo James Henry as Gabe Reyes. Mallory Jansen as Ada. Valerie Ortiz as Maria. Derek Hughes as the Amazing Mertz. And Jason Omada as Jeffrey Mace. I think I have some Peter Martinez syndrome, because the way I pronounce some of those names was not what I was intending to do. I'm kind of, my mouth is just running. I'm a little bit tired right now. So as a Jason Omada, I'm like, that's not how you say it. Okay, I'm sorry. Jason Omara as Jeffrey Mace. And that's just where we are. Do I want to get into any of this here? Actor Gabriel Luna said that Robbie Reyes chose to work with Daisy Johnson after the last episode because I respect her power and I respect her. I understand that she's going through the same direction I am. She's seeking the same ends that I am. And so I offer the opportunity for her to jump in and saddle up and we go and find these things out. He noted that they get sidetracked with the blackouts in this episode and that Gabe asks Johnson to leave. Luna said that that look on his face you see is perhaps a little disappointment in that he started to have a bond with someone he hasn't killed. I think that face you see is one of not fear, but definitely concern that the one person who knows that Robbie Reyes is Ghost Rider is now back out there running around doing whatever she has to do. I believe Jed Whedon called Gabe asking Johnson to leave Robbie another blow to Daisy and her emotional makeup, as she has been trying to operate alone because she doesn't want to be a danger to anyone else. Now Gabe voices her very fear. Okay, this is a very frenetically paced episode, so let's just go ahead and get started with it. Let's go ahead and press play in 3, 2, 1, and go. Previously on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay. Just in case you guys forgot, Ghost Rider was in the show. We're going to dedicate the first frame of Previously On to have it, you know, the skull light up and everything. So far, what I do like about S.H.I.E.L.D. all the time is that when they, like, there's always a mystery element to, like, how the dots connect and, like, why we're seeing what we're seeing. One of the things that I don't think gets enough, we can be a little bit critical of, like, well, the uncle being the villain, but so far, they always are able to make whatever dots are going to connect, whatever mysteries, intriguing. And so far, the idea of, like, there's ghosts, there's supernatural elements, there's Inhuman Hunters, which you're going to see in this episode. And then we also have street gangs also getting in on the action, too. It's like, how is all of this coalescing? Yo-Yo. Okay. Yeah, that's a little bit more concerning than blended drinks. I love this here, this little glitch, the effect. To kind of go with the theming. Man, Mac was not going easy on him. But again, this is just another example of like, maybe we shouldn't make S.H.I.E.L.D. public because then we have to be concerned with things like this. Oh, yeah, all the while, May's kind of dying. Oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah,
it's like kind of. I'd be like, you stepped on my moment, and then this.
No, I mean, this is, you know, in the past seasons, it'll be about maybe 4 to 5 episodes where it's like almost set up on stuff. This is the third one, and like everything that they set up is all piling up together now. The ghosts, yes, then with May, what's gonna happen with Ghost Rider soon enough, and I mean, it's just I honestly say this might be like top 10 episodes of the entire series because there's so much going on, but then also the teamwork that happens. In the, I can't remember if it was towards the end or not, but yeah, I'll point it out when we get to it, but the teamwork is so good.
Sure. No, yeah. I don't believe this episode is talked about enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned earlier, as far as like being remembered as one of the best of the series, but I certainly do remember it as that, because I was just taken very much with everything of what this was giving me from. And by the way, like, make no mistake, as you were just alluding to, David, this episode is doing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing a lot. I mean, not to mention this whole element here with Yo-Yo, right? Because she clearly has not told her friends about her double life, basically. That she's Hannah Montana. And it turns out that some of her friends are not all that accepting of different anything. I don't know what it is about Chloe Bennett. Like, she delivers lines like that in only ways that she can. Mm. She has that part really mastered. She's always, I mean, really from day one.
Well, she.
Yep.
And they get, what a way to set up the stakes. Oh my gosh. So good.
Like right off the bat. Oh, and here's Radcliffe and Ada. They're being brought into this. Mm. And they may be exposed because they're supposed to be secret, right? And they're going to come bring May over here too. But, and again, I don't think Radcliffe at this point means any harm.
Mm-hmm.
But what he's going to do here is the genesis of LMD May, if you haven't forgotten. This is where he's going to initially do the scan of the brain, and it's saved on there. But at this time, I don't believe he or Ada, for that matter, are of the mind that they're going to betray the team. That's when the Darkhold comes into play later on in this arc, as we transition from this arc to the next. But like, I love how you pointed it out, David. You are so right. Like, usually we get to episode 5 or 6 at this point in a season, when all of the different storylines begin to like fall into one another. But this third episode should already tell you how much they already gave us in 2 episodes, that we're jumping from location to location, like ensemble to ensemble, and yet it doesn't feel unwieldy. It does feel a bit chaotic, but controlled chaos,
mm-hmm.
at the way that S.H.I.E.L.D. does. Yeah, there's just a lot happening here that you're just, this is one of those episodes where you feel like it doesn't let you breathe because of how much is happening. And the stakes are high because, like, what's happening with May?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one has any idea here. Yeah, that's not great.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is the first episode of the season where we're on the main bridge of the Zephyr.
Mm.
And you notice they switched the color scheme.
Yeah.
I mentioned before when the Zephyr debuted and when they debuted the bridge that it was like a red hue, the lights. Now it's toward a blue hue. And I don't know if they changed the blue into a lighter or a darker blue in the following seasons. I'll have to look at that more closely. But just, I remember just feeling like, I mean, it looks good, but I think I like the red. But I also do like the fact that the red is unique to the third season and that we're moving into different, I don't know. To me, it's not insignificant. It's just one of these things where it's like how with the intros, they update the intros depending on like the episode or the season. That's just one of the things that catches my eye. Like, yeah. Oh, I wanted to point that out. The sad thing is, like, pieces of shit like this actually exist. Mm-hmm. Like, they look at a... This is a guy in a wheelchair. They're like, oh, let's go beat the shit out of him. What the fuck did you... That's one of the things, like, what did Daisy even do to warrant that guy swinging a bat at her? Mm-hmm. She was just fucking standing there. Unless they're thinking that she was magic or something? Is that what they were thinking? I don't... Ooh. Oof. Probably should have stayed upstairs.
Yeah.
I don't... Yeah, look at this. I love visuals like these. So yeah. Whenever they get to incorporate this, I'm like, okay.
It's always so fun. I love that Iron Man crew, like, basically created this whole thing. And
yeah,
it's always so cool. And I always just like thinking how the actors are just like in the air going.
I know that must be hard to make sense of what's happening, mm-hmm. but like it looks believable from what I can see.
No, yeah, there have been other shows where they're looking at some hologram or some magical hologram, but they're not like making direct eye contact to it and all that. So mm-hmm. they're making it work. Mm-hmm.
See, right here, we have an amazing display of the stupidity of just human nature in a lot of ways. For one, that lady, unfortunately, Maria, is very much indicative of many people in the Hispanic world and Hispanic communities who have very dogmatic and very pig-headed views on other kinds of people and treat them like shit and have no problem doing so. And that comment back at Elena when she said they're people too, and like, is this what LA did to you? That's a very common sentiment in some parts of the Hispanic world, which is always, I feel, kind of like, I mean, as somebody who belongs to that community, they can be some of the most loving people on the planet, but yet they can be very hateful in ways they wouldn't even perceive to be as hate. Then to the other piece of trash, it's like, hey, I'm on your side, fascist, evil Nazi guys. Here's the guy you want to kill. Then let me go. And then what happens? They end up getting an innocent it was a magician. And I'm not even sure if that guy even realized it was even intending for him to be the inhuman target, or he was just like, you know, sending him to the slaughter. And then with the opportunity of the rest of them being let go, like, you cannot negotiate. You cannot reason with people like that, because inevitably people who are innocent bystanders will be executed. That should never be worth it to anybody. That should never be something that anybody would want to sacrifice. Anyway. I love that shot of them walking away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a classic. Like, we have three episodes, and this is the first time Coulson's like addressing like what's happening in LA with Ghost Rider, and he's like, I'm really bummed I missed that. Of course you would be, Phil. Of course.
He misses out on something else later on.
He does. Yeah. And right there, who the fuck would sign up for that kind of mentality unless you're a fucking evil douchebag that wants to execute people at will? Like, that right there is like going against your own, I guess, crusade. It's like, if your whole thing is to kill others, why are you okay with killing those that are like you along the way? Bitch. I mean, seriously. Here we go. Music. I love that motif.
Yeah.
Here they come. And these guys clean up. Wow. Whoever would have thought? Coulson, Mac, and Fitz to the rescue.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that turn was unnecessary, but okay. It's fine.
Yeah. What turn did you say?
There was one turn when Coulson was fighting. He was just like, he punched one dude and then did like a turn, 360 turn, and punched another guy coming towards him or something.
Oh. I think they did that because of how he fights now with his robotic hand, right? Like, because the hand is the weapon, right? Is that why he did that turn?
Actually, I can't remember which hand he used to punch. And I always get confused which... Wait, so... I don't think so. I have to really look at it. I don't know. What's the timestamp?
Cut to commercial.
Yeah.
I love that. And I love this.
This
first
is
of all, chimpanzees. Chimpanzees. I love his obsession with monkeys. But also, this is one of the best showcases of Fitz's brain working in a way that's almost like hearing somebody speak a different language. Because like, wait, what? What are you doing? I
that's why I love this episode so much. It's like,
dang. I love that. Love it. Love it. Love it. He's like, whose side are you on? Not yours. Shot him. And Mac was like, personally, I would have shot him. I don't... There's no need to. But I just love how Coulson... The guy was asking, whose side are you on? Coulson's like, not you. Love it. Even though it wasn't like a real death. I mean, he was doing it for a strategic thing. But you could just tell how he said it. It was like, if I could, I would. Gee, I wonder if there was a superhero in a big movie that was saying this exact thing would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that, as Mark Ruffalo would put it, would break up the Avengers, like the Beatles, right? Like, Captain America was right, you sons of bitches, all of you. Just saying, from the very beginning. I love the cutback two times where like their dumbfounded face is just like, what?
Mm-hmm.
That is such a gamble. Mm-hmm.
And then the waiting for them.
Yeah.
This scene right here. Like I said, the teamwork in this episode is fucking amazing. And I remember people talking about this moment after the episode came out being like, this was pretty incredible.
Yeah. Oh, I remember what just happens. Oh, shit. Right when she's about to start, and then... Another one? Mm. New York? Oh, DC, okay. Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And she's back. I have no idea what just happened. That's literally the line of this season for May. Yeah. She missed everything. I feel like you have to really look back and like how many episodes was the real May actually around to catch what was happening. It's a really good idea from the director or the writers to have that EMP have like flashing lights on and off, because really I think it made for a cool sequence that we're about to watch right here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
that's
it's already paying off.
That's so good.
Is this the first time we see, we hear Yo-Yo's theme?
Ooh. Probably.
That music mm-hmm. motif that was just playing, that was Yo-Yo's theme. Is this the first time we're actually hearing it? Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, try not to harp too much on it, but like, is it pretty incredible how Fitz really came a long way? I mean,
yeah.
He really held his own for a lot of those fights. Like, mm-hmm. I never thought I'd see Fitz fight anybody, you know? So I'm glad that he and Gemma have been getting some training behind the scenes. And again, Fitz is not a natural fighter, but he's making it work with what makes sense for him.
Mm-hmm.
So getting a fire extinguisher and like ramming it in somebody's head makes sense. He's not doing like whole taekwondo. But that would be unbelievable, quite frankly. So. Yes, she has.
Mm-hmm.
She's, what was it? Sky, Daisy, Quake, Tremors, Mary Sue Poots. Do you want to keep going? She's had a lot of names.
I really do appreciate, like this kid.
Go ahead. Yeah. Appreciate where he's coming from, but also not what Daisy needed to hear. Not at all. But you were saying?
I mean, sure. Bad timing on his end on that. But yeah, like you said, like I like where his head is at.
Yes.
He can piece together, even though like he is completely wrong that like, Daisy is a good person. At the state that she is right now, though, it's weird. It's like somehow they're the best people to be around, but at the same time, though, they're just not the good place. Both her and Ghost Rider, you know,
because
Ghost Rider, like, he's like 100% understanding what Daisy is doing and is telling her, like, you need to calm down here, okay, and all that, and then. Daisy is sort of like leaning him on the good side because he's, you know, he's just, yes, he's stopping bad guys, killing bad guys and all that. But I feel like all the things that she's telling him, like investigating, where to actually like look into the investigation and all that, it leads him to a good place. It could have led him to a good place to actually be a proper superhero.
It's kind of turned on right now. That's
fine.
I mean, to be fair, Mac, you're not really pursuing it the way that she'd wanted to. So it's like, hey. this was a moment that you only think, I feel like the show and a lot of the members of this team, I'm not sure ever allowed themselves to think would be something, but they realized that these are a group of people who have saved the Earth and many people many times, but they never get the credit like the Avengers do, right? Interesting, huh? How this is kind of a little bit of a meta thing with the fact that this TV show doesn't get the same amount of recognition as anything else in the universe, you know? But with our characters here, it's like they've done so much good. So on some level, it is a huge accomplishment to be able to be out in public and to be recognized for what they've been able to achieve. And yet, as it's presented, not quite as triumphant with, you know, May pointing out, that should be you up there, Phil. And Phil, the ever gracious one, not wanting the attention, sure, I get it. But also, as fans of the show and seeing how much of an amazing director he was, he should have been the person to be up there. But then all that stung even more with Daisy listening to that in this van that we found her in the first episode, once again alone. The idea that she contributed to S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back into the forefront, and she, of her own free will, left that behind. So, yeah. Really interesting parallel that I see right there. Mm-hmm. Anywho. Let me see if I can get to some quick reactions right over here. Before we get to Ami. Here are some Reddit reactions after the episode was broadcast that night. Coulson's hand getting stuck on the wheel was hilarious and unexpected. It's the little things. That's right. He's... when the EMP happened.
Yeah.
Damn, that fight sequence at the party was beautifully shot. Nice long takes, and the choreography was badass, too. Great to see Coulson kick ass in the field again, which is something he doesn't do all that often. So another thing to add to the fun nature of the episode here. As someone mentioned in the live thread, Sokovia Accords is now posing dangers to the registered Inhumans enhanced individuals. They have bullseyes on their backs. To me, it looks like Cap's talk of the safest hands are our own came out to be true, which is, yeah, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Fitz putting the knife through the watchdog henchman's hand was badass. Yes, I mean, when Fitz is able to do something like that, that's going to be like, oh. Remember, this was the guy that was, remember in the first season, they were at the hub and... he couldn't get past the automatic doors that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It's come a long way.
A long way. I really hope that evil lady gets what's coming to her. She reminds me of the worst of some of our actual politicians. By the way, that was written 10 years ago. It's gotten so much worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten so much worse now. So I'm not even sure that would compare to what we see today. That fight sequence in the hotel lobby was incredible. Kind of reminded me of Daredevil. Now that S.H.I.E.L.D. is back in the public, we better be seeing S.H.I.E.L.D. in the movies again.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Not going to lie, that kind of broke me, David. I don't know. Know where to go from there. Just want to say that that this episode's director must have had way too much fun with both fight scenes. Yes, Craig. Well, actually, not Craig. But was it? It was Craig wrote the episode. Craig Titley wrote it, but the director was Magnus Martins. Magnus Martins. Okay, yeah, good job, guy. Loved it. Let's see here. I will say I'm digging Director Mace now than I did last week. I feel like last week you can't... He comes across as too nice, so you're not quite sure, like, you want to trust him. I feel like with this episode, I think it helped a lot that he's not incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps because when you realize shit was hitting the fan, he just, okay, Coulson, here's where she is.
No, yeah.
Here's why I didn't tell you. And kind of, he was in the right. mm-hmm. I guess, did not tell him, because had he told Coulson, he would have been far away from this emergency situation. So I feel like this episode did a lot of good as far as making us not hate Mace really often. Not that you would hate him, but I think you could tell there would have been a lot of people who have felt a little bit sketchy about him, and especially how he was presenting himself. It turns out, but also that initial instinct was correct, because he is hiding something, and that will come out later on. That was an interesting comment. Was not expecting Gabe to be such a dick.
Gabe? The
it's a bit PR harsh. Guy? The brother, the little brother.
Oh, okay.
For kicking Daisy out of the house.
No, he's not a dick. It's perfectly reasonable. He knows his brother is hiding something, thinks she's involved, wants her out.
Yeah.
It's perfectly reasonable. I like him for that.
Especially since like he already has a relative locked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of a big reel.
And also, since he's in a wheelchair, he really can't do much to help his older brother. Probably thinks he's a bit of a burden to him. So however way he can help him, he's going to do it.
They for sure blew their CGI budget on that badass brain scanner. That was money well spent. Well spent. Let's see. Also, the fight scenes were leagues better than the episodes prior. It was. I will say. I feel like they've always had some pretty good fights. With season through, I feel like they grow every season, as we've been mentioning. There are some things that they just continue to improve on, as you would. Well, the more that you do something, the better you'd get at it. You know, obviously. Another great episode. The fight scene at the hotel was really well choreographed and framed. I also feel like we have finally most of the pieces in place to really pick this season's arc. I knew we wouldn't lose May, but that scene was still pretty suspenseful. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we got a bit more of Ada too. I'm seeing some comments of people that are not entirely happy with what they're calling emo Daisy, and that. Mm-hmm. They don't like her attire, or they don't like her attitude, or her being self-loathing or brooding or self-pity, I guess. That's an interesting thing to point out here.
I mean, I understand why it can be annoying, but like there's huge, huge reasonings for it.
Mm-hmm.
The outfit, again, I don't mind it. It's fine. I can maybe hear someone argue that's a bit too much, you know, tone it down, especially with like the black eyeliner and all that. But overall, I don't mind it. And like I said, there's very good reasonings for it. The dopamine, I guess you can say, that she got from Hive was all taken away. Probably still some effects to it even now. And adding on to the fact that her boyfriend died because of mistakes that she made. It just doesn't really help much. So,
yeah, I'm going to save Alex McLevy's AV Club review. I'm going to toss it to the side because there are some other quick overviews. I'm not going to read every freaking review, but here's an overview. Scott Meslow at Vulture scored the episode 4 stars out of 5, saying that, like a good stock portfolio, the key to a good S.H.I.E.L.D. episode is diversification. The best thing about Uprising isn't any individual story, it's how deftly the show juggles so many stories without losing track of any. He thought the character of Maria was cartoonishly one note. I hate to tell you, that's people. But it's heartbreaking to watch Yo-Yo stand quietly as her friends unknowingly denounce her. Okay, here, Evan Valentine at Collider rated the episode a good 3 stars out of 5, calling it a solid episode. IGN's Terry Schwartz gave it, again, good, 7.8 out of 10, calling the blackout plot fairly throwaway, but a backdrop to tell far more interesting stories, with Luna's Reyes continuing to be the strongest new element of the season. Schwartz criticized the episodes Killing and Resurrection of May as one of the weaker storytelling tricks in an otherwise solid episode. And as expected, May came back and is just fine. Okay. I mean, I like Terry Schwartz personally. I don't agree with this mentality that the best thing working is just Ghost Rider. Because with all due respect, I felt like he was barely in this episode. Yeah, this was an amazing episode, and it was great for literally every reason that we saw. So I'm sorry, but that to me just stinks of like the mentality that you get when you're around the same people of like, okay, we all agree that when us non-SHIELD viewers review these episodes, we're going to always say Ghost Rider, great, but everything else that's not a costume freak, bad, or not as great, right? Mm. We all agree? Okay. You go to Nerdist, go to AV Club, go to Collider, I'll write for IGN. Okay. That's what it feels like. Just this groupthink mentality of like, oh, this is just the same quality as season one, and we can't say out loud that it's actually a great show, so we're going to convince ourselves that it's not a great show, and here are the reasons for why it's not great, even though it is, David.
No, yeah. It's it's really good. Yes, the actor, like, he definitely has, like, a presence within the show, like, just yes, completely different from everyone. Like, I really like the moments where he's very protective of his brother and all that, like, great, great moments. But, yeah, he was barely in the episode. The EMP plotline was the main thing about the episode, and it was really good. I love the teamwork between everyone, how they try to solve it, especially with Fitz. Fitz continuing to be the best character in the whole show.
Yes, because of course, of it.
And then, what did they mention?
Which, by the way, that's normal for any episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. because when you have, this is an ensemble show. There will be episodes where you have some characters take the lead and some characters be on the backseat. Mm-hmm. And what S.H.I.E.L.D. does great, though, is even when you have episodes and characters you like are not the main focus, what they're still doing is worth your time. Mm-hmm. It's worthy of being in the episode at all. So I don't mean to say that, oh, this did not matter for Ghost Rider. It did, absolutely, because we got Gabe. And we also got to see, you know, a continuing working relationship between him and with Daisy. But ultimately, everything that we saw in this episode was connected to the main plot. And it's not so much for the sake of doing it, but for the sake of using this plot and the developments of that to push every threat that we have so far on our canvas even more forward.
Mm-hmm. And also with Ghost Rider too. I think that little article that you read in the beginning talking about that look that he gave when Daisy left and all that, that's a really good moment. Not just because of like the look that he was giving, but like I like the little moment of him taking out the pills. Like, he literally got something for her, hopefully to help her, but she was gone, and there's probably was some sadness in his face being like, dang, like maybe he liked her company, maybe he wanted to get her help more or something, who knows. But
absolutely,
it's just little things like that that makes any character great. And then obviously there's moments of Yo-Yo, you know, talking against her friend who's all like against Inhumans. I don't think we get much of a reaction for her from her afterwards, like once it's like finally revealed, but I'm pretty sure it does get brought up later on at the very least. But so there's that.
I kind of took that I took it a different way. I agree that she wasn't all that broken up about it, but I will say, for one, Yo-Yo strikes me as a very emotionally mature person. And also, as we come to know, she has, well, I think at this point we should already know, like, she was kind of a freedom fighter in her home country, you know. That's like, she's a hardened individual. And so, and like, when we first meet her, if I'm not mistaken, was it her cousin that got killed? So she's been in Colombia, I think is where she's from. She's seen some shit, basically. Mm-hmm. On top of the fact that I feel like there were dropping hints throughout the interactions that she had with her friends. Like, you know, you never wear a dress. Like, I mean, off the bat, she's not really like them. Mm-hmm. You can tell that they were friends in the first place because they probably lived in the same area. But with her being into S.H.I.E.L.D., or maybe not even into just S.H.I.E.L.D., because it's not like Maria and all those other girls that were just, like, not at all aware of, like, the things that Yo-Yo was getting up to before she was even Inhuman. Mm-hmm. Like, she was always just, like, you know, promoting justice and, like, getting involved in all that, like, against the local cartels. Yeah. But now as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and also being part alien, it's much more, no pun intended, alienating. But to me, that was just to signal how far Yo-Yo has come as a person, to have Maria just basically be frozen in time in high school, mm-hmm. as a lot of people are, because she's not left, really, and she's not grown as a person. And I think you juxtapose that as her past with her present and future as her new friends, her new family, if you will, Fitz, obviously Mac, and Coulson come to the rescue. So to me, I don't believe she was meant to be all that broken up. I'm sure it hurts, but I think she knows, and I think the presentation of it communicates that she had already outgrown them, mm-hmm. and she now has a new group to be with. I don't know if you took it that way, but that's kind of what I've always looked at it as.
No, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I completely forgot about her freedom fighter thing. That, yeah, of course, she's not going to be too attached to someone who's just not really on her side at the very least, or
at all.
No. Yeah. So that makes perfect sense, honestly. So, and then what you mentioned in that article with May, what was it, like, basically a cheap shot of the death of her,
the whole storyline of her getting, like, killed and then being brought back.
Yeah, I get it, especially on first watch. You're kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, she's not gonna die. Like, I get that. That's perfectly fine. Either way, though, yeah. Interesting idea.
It's still suspenseful.
Yeah.
Even though you know you're not going to kill May. Mm-hmm. Come on.
No, I mean,
how do you not? The show makes you believe it.
No, ultimately, I like Radcliffe's idea of, like, we're out of options. I really don't know how to help her. This is kind of the best thing to do right now. So
it's the only thing to do right now, mm-hmm. basically.
So, yeah.
Writing for Nerdist, Joseph McCabe had mixed feelings about the episode's political angle and the use of Inhumans as a stand-in for minorities. But okay,
I mean, that's always been
what
Inhumans and X-Men. So, like,
but that's the thing. It's like, did you not watch the other seasons? Mm-hmm. The Inhumans are the X-Men in the universe of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
That's, I think, the only way to look at it. They are in that, politically, that's how they're treated as.
Yeah.
Do you watch the show, guy? It's my thing. But praise the chemistry between Coulson, Mac, and Fitz, and the further exploration of Jeffrey Mace. If you're praising the chemistry of Coulson, Mac, and Fitz, I gotta ask, have you not seen this show before?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, because that's not new. I mean, they were amazing in this episode. I will, but, like, that, it's not new.
Yeah.
Really. McCabe was highly critical of guest star Lorenzo James Henry, calling him no more charismatic here than he was in Fear the Walking Dead. Gabe, the little brother.
Okay.
Yeah. That he was fine.
He was fine.
What are you going to do? It's like, Kevin Fitzpatrick of Screen Crush was particularly negative, feeling the episode's different storylines ended up feeling like three disparate stories with some notable reaching.
They were all connected. I literally mentioned at the beginning of this episode that, like, wow, we're bringing everything together. Cool. It just, oh, man.
This guy is literally saying that nothing here was connected. Did you watch the same episode we did?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. This is why it's so hard not to crash out. Because, like, is the same kind of thinking. This is the same kind of thinking that gave us 10 years of reviews of MCU films that were like 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
10 out of 10 because you know what? I look at it as a TV show. And so far, I love being in this universe. I'm going to overlook a lot of the flaws because I love being here. And you've given me such goodwill by just being in this universe. Meanwhile, you have an actual story with characters and themes and messaging happening on this show. And this is the kind of slop that is being written for it. People who can't read an episode? By the way, and this is just a standard S.H.I.E.L.D. episode for the most part, as far as the structure of it. This is what they always do.
Mm-hmm.
This is not anything new here. And it just ends up being that this is a great perfected execution of what they would do here. David.
And I understand, like, especially for me, whenever I'm watching any show, it's hard for me to connect, like, a whole season of, like, how we, you know, got to certain areas, you know? Like, if I was to watch this for the first time, I would just be like, you know, cool episode. I like the plot of it. But, like, I can't tell you, like, how we got to that situation, you know? Like, that's the hard part for me for any show. But you can still review the episode by itself, and it can be fucking incredible. I mean, without this, I really wouldn't never, without, I mean, the commentary, I mean, I never would have connected the dots, but there is a connection there. Just gotta pay attention. But again, I know it's hard to do for shows, especially for me, but if you're gonna review it, do it properly.
Yeah, no. He thought the Inhuman Prejudice storyline and attack by looters on Gabe were forced. And that the May storyline did not really advance our idea of where AI or ghostly threads will end up.
Just have to wait.
Maybe.
No, I mean, that
Fitzpatrick
one just has to wait. That's really all there is to it.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick did think that the introduction of Nagra would help season 4 find its footing again with a more focused overarching story. I think he's referring to Alan Nadir. Several critics felt that events in the episode, particularly the terrorist caused blackouts in major cities around the world and the public re-legitimization of S.H.I.E.L.D. were problematic due to the series connection to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Meslow felt it was questionable for the series to feature a crisis such as the blackouts, given they would surely attract the attention of at least one Avenger. Jesus fucking Christ. Valentine felt that the S.H.I.E.L.D. announcement would fall alongside other events on the series that will never be reflected on the MCU movies. It does sometimes make you aggravated when the series can go for such broad strokes to the universe without any mention in the movies themselves. Fitz concurred with Valentine, saying the announcement will never ever be acknowledged by any other Marvel property. Do you realize the kind of backwards reverse racism thinking you have going on here? You're basically saying, fuck you, show. The movies are never going to acknowledge you. So why are you even doing this? This is what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't know how you feel when you hear that.
Well, for one thing, they're saying, like, how are the Avengers not involved in this? The main characters are in LA and Florida. Most of the Avengers are New York based. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And it's not like, you know, they take out one of these EMPs that the others will go down. That's not how it worked. They found one. They would get the information to stop the others. Maybe the Avengers did help on that. And, you know, if it was Iron Man involved in this, EMP, hello, he might be weakened by this. I don't know.
That was an exhausting list of reviews there. Here's Alex McLevy for AV Club. I'm getting to the part where, okay, the blackout episode is a common TV trope, but S.H.I.E.L.D. puts a thrilling spin on it because the narrative plot awakened greatness in areas the show needs it most, namely the action and pacing. As always, the series excels when it has the gas pedal firmly pressed to the floor, and by goosing the mechanics not with one but two tick clock scenarios. S.H.I.E.L.D. pivoted smoothly from last week's discussion-heavy plotting, even when it slowed down for a heart-to-heart as it happens between Daisy and Gabe during Robbie's jaunt to the pharmacy. It functioned as a practical moment for the audience to catch its breath before launching back into the sprint towards a satisfying finish, the reintroduction of S.H.I.E.L.D. to the mass public. The biggest news is the massive launch of a well-orchestrated global cabal of watchdogs led by a mysterious leader. Unless you think Senator Nadir is the architect of it all, which seems too easy. True, her reveal as a malicious power broker attempting to incite mass outcry against the Inhumans and placidly celebrating the murder of 17 of them. Yeah, we all do that. Okay, so, and the ass-kicking was great tonight. A key ingredient the show still struggles with more than it should. First-time S.H.I.E.L.D. director Magnus Martins proved his action bona fides. On series like Banshee and Luke Cage were no fluke, as he not only makes every fight scene pop and flow with distinction, but he lent each one a sense of group dynamics and collective struggle that the superhero battles often lack, primarily with Mac Fitz and Coulson's takedown of the Watchdogs, but extending even into Daisy and Robbie's smackdown of the punks threatening Gabe. It was refreshing to see the fight choreography acknowledge none of these people were fighting in a vacuum. Coulson and Mac's teamwork was the best, both of them strategically throwing punches and feints geared towards pushing the enemy into one another's crosshairs. But it was a good week for group dynamics all around, as you said, David. I'm glad somebody here caught or watched and understood what was going on here. Surprisingly, Yo-Yo was the one who shined the brightest in the mechanics of Uprising, getting strong character beats and stronger superpowered moments throughout the hour. This was the first time since last season we really got to see her put her powers to good use, and the results were propulsive and well executed. It helps that her super speed ping-ponging is a visually exciting ability, but also it was folded smartly into the flow of action, making her hyperspeed light display and subsequent disarming of the guys guarding the EMP a highlight of the episode, no pun intended. The choice to have the 2 second lights flicker on and off was also a cool effect, giving Martins a chance to play with the conventions of fight scenes in a visually arresting way. All of the Watchdogs stuff was so good. It almost put the May storyline on the back burner, but were it not for the gravity of her situation. Thankfully, Simmons and Radcliffe are two of the most delightfully accessible personalities on the team, and pairing them together is a guarantee of strong scenes. It didn't make watching May suffer any easier to handle, but by the time Radcliffe's hooking Ada's power source up to the defibrillator in order to resuscitate May, you knew everything was going to be okay. Plus, it gives Simmons something to be nosy about, meaning she'll hopefully be brought into the fold of those who know about Radcliffe's life model decoy sooner rather than later. This might sound strange in an episode where May's life was literally on the line, but Daisy's poor arm was arguably the most unsettling element in this installment. Yes, Gabe called her out as being Quake and warned her against associating with Robbie. And yes, Daisy's collusion with Yo-Yo was sending consternation through the assembled team. If by assembled team you mean Mac and his inability to accept the current situation or even what making a promise to someone entails, apparently. But when she unravels that wrap covering her arm, revealing the disturbing marks running up her skin, it's unnerving and squirm-inducing, as is Robbie's comment that when she used her power, he heard a bone snap. I guess if you have a phobia of hearing bones snap, that might be something that would do it for you, I guess. True, the show continues to love making its metaphors and allegories as explicit as possible, as demonstrated by Daisy's turning off S.H.I.E.L.D. director Jeffrey Mace's public address about how a team divided is a team defeated. But just as she still feels justified isolating herself from her former teammates, at least until someone manages to convince, or I'm sorry, to converse with her long enough to make her realize she isn't going to fly as a solo act long term. Stray observations. It was good to see Yo-Yo address the tension generated by Mac's steadfast adherence to the rules. There shouldn't be any secrets between us. Why not? There's nothing else between us. It shouldn't surprise me, but it was delightful to see that Fitz counts between EMP pulses with one chimpanzee, two chimpanzees. Wow, he caught that. Speaking of which, he got another one of the better lines of the night when confronting his team's utter lack of even basic Boy Scout merit badge knowledge. Rudimentary science, yeah, no big deal. Just rudimentary science maybe saved the day. I like how Robbie's story is being teased out in steady doses rather than a clumsy info dump. Hearing him relate the vain hope that if only he can right the correct wrong, he might lose the demon was a useful line for those unfamiliar with Ghost Rider, especially in his most recent incarnation from the comics. Not gonna lie, there was a brief beat while Gemma was futilely delivering CPR where I had to think, no, they're not gonna kill me. We will, honest to God, riot. Before remembering Ada was powered down behind the bookshelf. I'll let Radcliffe have the last line. Right, then we'll all go have lots of drinks. Okay, I think we're ready for Ami now.
Oh, wait. A bad batch of it? Okay, I'm a little confused on that. Because I guess he crystallized, but he never came out. How would that have happened, though? He would have had to have been hit with, like, one of the OG Terrigen crystals that had the metal in it.
Not necessarily.
Otherwise, because it couldn't have been like the fish oil shit, the stuff that was leaking out into the ocean and all of that, like that caused the last outbreak. Because like otherwise, you know, I mean, it wouldn't have affected him unless he was inhuman. I don't know what to do with that information right there, but it seems to be the motivator maybe behind all of this. She's kind of involved with the Watchdogs or whoever is pulling the strings of the Watchdogs, whatever. We'll worry about it when it comes up again. But obviously, this is getting a little bit bigger than anybody had anticipated. It is no longer just a small little hate group. It has grown well beyond that and has gone global. They're getting resources that are accelerating and amplifying their attacks and their goals, their manifesto, all of that. And they attacked all these different cities, EMPs, all of it. Again, S.H.I.E.L.D. being the organization that it is, I'm honestly, every time something like this happens, a little shocked that not nearly enough of their equipment has shielding in it. You know, even today, by a lot of today's standards, a lot of that is pretty common. Like, you know, and they're pretty advanced in this universe for all that, you know, so I'm still kind of surprised that that's still a problem, at least in like certain aspects of it. Like some devices I would understand, but like some of the more advanced technology I would imagine would have that kind of baked into it, you know, like at least Coulson's hand, you know, the stuff Fitz would make. Anyway, I'm fixating on that. Though Radcliffe, though, he backed up his little power supply for Ada. Not her herself, but at least her power supply was able to hold a charge. And they showed a light on that one. Even when she was powered down, that was still active, you know, that with that glow. It was a nice little setup. I was wondering if that was going to come back around. I thought she was going to still be active, and that was going to be the reveal to Simmons, because she still doesn't know about that. You know, the Fitz has kept that in the dark all the same. I thought that was going to be him bringing her out of the shadows, much like S.H.I.E.L.D. in this episode, kind of coming out and revealing themselves. It would be him kind of bringing her out as well in this moment. And through this power source, she was going to kind of be the machine that brings her back instead of the paddles. But they just kind of hooked that up to the paddles instead. And that secret is still kept very, very safe, at least for now. And while we don't have like the mutants to play around with in this universe, because we don't have license to that, I like that they're using the inhuman storyline in this to kind of tackle something very similar with this idea and exploration of hate, how that spreads, how fear and ignorance can just kind of consume a people. Just because if somebody is different, there's something they don't understand, they can't wrap their head around it, just seeing the way that people react do things like this. So they're doing a really good job kind of showcasing that. We've seeded the Watchdogs over the last season and all of that, and we're just kind of building upon that further and further. And it's not even just the Watchdogs now. We're seeing it more and more with the people. You know, Yo-Yo being at this bachelorette party here to celebrate a friend of hers upcoming wedding and all this that she was invited to. They'd known each other for however long. None of that mattered once it came out that Yo-Yo was an Inhuman. You know, that's how some of this stuff works. It doesn't matter. You know, nothing changed. Nothing at all changed about that dynamic between the two of them. But just that little nugget. We talked about this in my Nimona reaction as well. That, for some people, is enough to just write off everything. Everything between you. Like, it's fucking disgusting. Like, and just seeing the way people turned on each other and just were willing to hand over the fucking close-up magician. Guys just doing some sleight of hand. They're like, him, he did the voodoo. He did the magic. Take him away. God, fucking witch hunted his ass. Like, the fact that people, like, would just, they'll just turn on each other if you're just anything outside of that, of what they're used to or what they, whatever. And honestly, couldn't be more relevant today, man. Could not be more fucking relevant at this point, man. It's fucking sad. It's pathetic. And it literally pisses me off. So I've had that happen to friends of mine, man. You know, they're just completely just cast out of their families. Once a certain revelation came to light that they just didn't like. Didn't matter that they were a kid. Didn't matter all these years. Didn't matter none of it. It's fucking gross, man. I'm glad at least that she has people that accepts her that she could fall back on. And, you know, that's our crew. Though, obviously, she's been withholding her own secrets. Not even her own secrets. I understand why Mac is hurt. But it wasn't her secret to tell. Though she was deceiving him in a multitude of ways. And rightfully so. He does, I think, deserve to be upset about that. But as far as the stuff as Daisy's concerned, it wasn't her secret to tell, you know? Daisy doesn't want to be found. She doesn't want to be found. You've got to respect that. I mean, I agree with that aspect of it as much as it sucks and it hurts. And it's just, she's got to go through her own process. And when she's ready, she'll come home. That's how it's going to work. You can't force her to come home. You know, you can put it all out there and let her know that the door is always open, but that's got to be a door she's going to walk through, you know? You know, she's continuing this little journey, her little, like, quest with Robbie out here kind of got kind of halted a little bit because of these blackouts, because rather than pursue, you know, their leads, they had to kind of take a detour and go protect his little brother in the wake of all of these blackouts and whatnot. She showed her hand as well, having to defend him against some looters. And, you know, he's like, hey, I've seen the news. I don't know what my brother gets into, but he's like the grounding. Like, I like the way he described it as like, he's the thing that keeps the wheels from falling off the ride. Like, he's the axle. He's the one that helps kind of root everything, ground everything, keep everything kind of going together while his brother just wants to move, wants to spin, wants to go. Without that connecting them, it just chaos ensues. I don't know. I like that in the way that they kind of look out for each other in very different ways. And it was very endearing, man. I like seeing that little insight into their home life, into the relationships, into all of that, and her kind of being the window to that. But then him also being like, you know, he doesn't need some bad people in here. I'm going to keep your secret because you helped me, but I don't want him getting in trouble, which, respect. Though, we kind of do need to work together because there's more, probably some bigger shits going on that obviously he doesn't know about. You know, Daisy taking that to heart, especially because that just reinforces a lot of her ideas of herself at this point that, you know, she is just kind of bad news. You know, she might even be cursed, you know, kind of furthering a lot of those kind of things that her and Lincoln were both kind of concerned about, that they were both kind of struggling with. And hell, like Lincoln even coming up in this episode because of the power outages. All of it being blamed on Inhumans. And like they said, the only person that they know of that could have been capable of doing such an act is no longer with us. And who's to say that one wasn't born to fill his shoes, you know? It's a very reliable narrative that could be sold, which is why the Watchdogs did what they did, claiming to be an Inhuman extremist group because of the registrations and trying to villainize even further the Inhumans and set them apart from everybody else, set everybody else against them. And then you have this senator who's working counter, even though the shield came out and be like, hey, it wasn't actually any Inhumans at all. It was this extremist group who were all human. She's just like, hey, I don't care what they say. I've got credible sources that it was indeed Inhumans. So I don't know if that's just like she's being fed information from whoever is puppeteering everything, or if she's part of the puppeteering itself. I don't know. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see all that unfurls. But all in all, fun episode. This was kind of more in line with what I was expecting as far as like the usual uses of the powers and stuff, like, because we didn't get like a full-on Ghost Rider in this one. We just got a little light up in the eyes and some fisticuffs. Not that we need the Rider in every episode, but that was kind of like, I was shocked last episode that we got to see him again so soon. Not that the Rider was even needed in this. I like that this was more about Robbie more than it was about, you know, his curse. Like, she was obviously asking questions, and we know what he believes about it. And now everybody's still trying to figure out if this is supernatural, is it not? Even with like them trying to diagnose May, they take a scientific approach to it. It's like, hey, like they pulled out the old Sherlock Holmes quote about the improbable. You know, once you kind of eliminate every possible avenue, the only things left are, you know, the supernatural. You know, when you've eliminated all possibilities, well, you necessarily haven't, you know, and I like that. And they're like, okay, if this is real, what can we do to at least stop what's happening to her? And they basically shut down her brain activity, do a power cycle of May's body, kill her, bring her back. And it worked. It freed her of whatever influence that was going on, because like they said, it was killing her of fear. Her body was in a constant mode of fight or flight, and it was just going to exhaust itself until she just croaked all on her own. Kind of wild, man. I don't know, man. This is a great little start to this season. We got a lot of things kind of up in the air between, obviously, the Inhuman tensions, the political stuff that is still going on, you know, the after effects of the last season, some things that are just kind of carrying on from there that are still up in the air. And then this other project, which we still kind of got to dive into. What happened with these Spectres? What happened to May? What is going on? Who even instigated all of that? Who's pulling the strings behind this whole little, like, warfare of misdirection? I don't know, man.
Any thoughts on that, David?
I didn't hit me until I heard him say it. But yeah, this is all Robbie episode. You know, he had the little hint of the eyes of the Ghost Rider coming out and all that. But yeah, no, it was the Ghost Rider didn't come out. Didn't really think about it because I like the character so much. So... but yeah, fantastic. Great episode. And he was basically mentioning all the things that you were mentioning throughout the episode, so but yeah
basically. All right, well, I guess that's where we're gonna have to end it. Thank you everybody for joining us as usual, and we will see you guys next time. Anything that you want to say about what we said, or any other reviews, or any of your personal experiences, please. And if you want to say that we suck, also leave it down below. We'll catch you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.